Michael Dennehy, one of our great Puertaguanos and all-stars out there, the Dennehy Belay Group, back on. Michael, good Thursday morning.
Good morning to you, Jack. It is a wild time.
Where do you want to start, locally or nationally? I'll let you drive the comm.
Yeah, I think nationally is a good idea.
Because you know what's funny? You know what's funny? It almost is influencing the local, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. I don't think there's any doubt about it, and it will influence the elections in November for sure. And it's no secret that a lot of voters across the country and in New Hampshire are not happy with the current choices for president right now. And it certainly opens a door for someone like Robert F. Kennedy, who I think it's important for your listeners to know, just recently made the Michigan ballot. And Michigan is a swing state and one that Trump lost narrowly in 2020. Mm-hmm. And that could have a very big impact on the swing states in the country.
Well, he probably should get, if he can get on Michigan, he could probably get on the New Hampshire ballot.
He claims he has already attained what New Hampshire's threshold is for ballot signatures, okay. Although he has not been certified yet.
Well, you have opened up the door very nicely. So let's just stay on New Hampshire for a minute, Michael Dennehy, a state you know very well. I mean, you even own a horse here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about New Hampshire. That's fun. Yeah. We can all picture that. Okay, so here you go. You and I know that if you look at recent federal elections, you would think New Hampshire's in the bag for Joe Biden, right? I mean, he won the write-in here, even though he screwed over our primary. He's not terribly popular here, but if you hold your nose as a Democrat or a moderate independent, Biden. Wait a minute. Why did, right after the State of the Union, why did Joe Biden run up to New Hampshire for our slim 4 electoral college votes? I don't think it was to buy a new condominium at Waterville Valley. The next week, the First Lady came here.
Yeah.
So I think New Hampshire might be a little tighter among independents. And let's just talk about New Hampshire. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., originally from Massachusetts, household name already. If you're dissatisfied and you're an independent, what if Kennedy got 26% of the vote in New Hampshire? It affects the race between Trump and Biden, and the national media ignoring this story.
Yeah. Jack, I don't know why I go that high. If he got 10 to 15%, as Ross Perot did, it could dramatically impact the race and potentially throw it to Trump in New Hampshire. And no Republican has won New Hampshire since George W. Bush. So I think, I don't have to remind you, Robert F. Kennedy is an environmental activist. He is a Democrat. And many would say he's a liberal Democrat. So he's going to pull Democratic votes, not Republican votes. There are some who say he's pulling Republican votes right now. I'm sure he's going to pull some. But the lion's share of his voting block is going to come from Democratic voters. Any amount he gets is a problem for Joe Biden, and that's why they are working overtime to stop him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I don't know what the cutting issues are going to be. I'm going to pivot to the governor's race here, Michael Dennehy. But clearly abortion rights for Democrats is about the only issue they want to focus on. I don't think they want to talk about inflation and the economy, which is now slowing. The U.S. economy is slowing. I got news for you. It's going to be slowing by the end of the year even more. Inflation, high interest rates, people are running out of money. Okay, southern border, and two wars in the world. So I think independents have a lot to look at there. Abortion rights may not be it, but even in the governor's race here, you have Cindy Warmington, one of the Democrats, challenging Kelly Ayotte to a debate on abortion, given her past stance. Warmington saying, okay, Kelly, what's the answer? Do you want a debate on abortion? What do you think about this?
Smart politics, by the way, for Cindy Warmington. Very smart politics. It is the only issue the Democrats have going for them. I want to add that gas prices have risen 40 cents in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
The last 2 weeks now approaching $4 a gallon. So add that to inflation and the border and immigration, and the Democrats have giant problems. Sure, they can talk about abortion all day long, but is that what independents are going to vote on? Abortion over the price, the $100 gas tank that they have to fill up now every week, or the rising prices, or the fragile economy. So, but Cindy Warmington has to get through a primary first, so that's why it's smart for her to focus on that issue in trying to call out Kelly Ayotte.
Yeah, you raised a good point. I'm a realist, and common sense tends to be my oxygen. I'm not going to discount abortion rights as an issue for voters of all ages, and it's a motivating issue. It's probably the only issue that Democrats who are unhappy and dissatisfied with Biden circle the wagon on. But if you're an independent voter and you're running out of money halfway through the month because you can't fill your tank, you can't fill your fridge, you're frustrated, I got to tell you, you probably say to yourself, am I going to be personally affected by New Hampshire's law, which has no restrictions on abortion through 6 months, or not? And do I vote on this issue, or do I vote on the fact that I'm running out of money?
Yeah, that's right. I really believe that's what it's going to come down to. Now, Jack, we've talked about this in the past. It's on Republicans to make sure voters understand that choice. And I'll be the first to tell you, Republicans have done a poor job on that, especially in the 2022 election. So yep. They have to get their act together. These candidates have to, can't hide from abortion. They have to lay it out clearly.
You know who had a good answer on this? He's not even running, but I had George Hansen on from Keene the other day, very articulate. And he was on talking about the 2nd Congressional District. He is supporting Vikram Mancharamani. But my point was, I said, former Mayor Keene, I go, if you are running, and I'm not sure if it's going to be Colin Van Alstern, I don't know if it's Senator Whitley or someone else, but whoever the nominee is, if they just kept saying, my opponent George Hansel favors a ban on abortion over and over and over again, how do you respond? He said, I don't, and you're the one that's pricing people out of their homes. You're the one that's pricing people out of they can't afford anything. You're the one that's caused a terrible economy. You're the one that's caused abortion. And he went on in the attack, and Republicans don't do a great job on that.
No, they don't. No, they don't, because they automatically get defensive on abortion. Yeah. And so they run and hide from it. And that's been their approach for many years now. Well, so,
you know, Trump was smart a few weeks ago when he came out and he said on that Monday. In fact, I remember the Monday because I think it was Patriots Day. It was just a few weeks ago. And he said, hey, if I'm elected again, I'm not going to sign a federal abortion ban. I don't advise or talk with him like this and offline. I'd say, former Mr. President, stop there. Don't say another word. Just say that. Don't talk anymore.
That's it. Yeah.
Go talk about the border. Talk about inflation. Talk about Joe Biden. But don't keep talking. Just say you won't sign a federal abortion ban. Stop talking.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think he did, Jack.
Yeah. All right. What else is catching your eye?
One of the more restrained times I've heard him.
Yeah. What else is catching your eye?
Oh, gosh, you know, all the other races are starting to heat up now that the outside is starting to heat up. So,
Let me ask one quick one. Do you think Governor Sununu is not running again? Do you think he kind of goes on and stays out of the public eye or stays in the public eye after his term's up?
I think that's a good question, good topic. I think he's going to find a way to stay involved. Because he's been such a big factor in politics, and he's a young guy, I think he's going to figure out a way to stay involved. No idea what that will be, but I'm sure he's got options.
Okay, and the final one is, every day you wake up, and if you watch CNN at all, and I monitor, you know, watch all of them, it's Trump nonstop. I don't think CNN can stay in business without Trump for ratings and, you know, their sanity. It's just Trump, 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 Trump trial, hush money, Trump, Trump, Trump. Are these trials going to have a political consequence next November or not with Trump in court and trial?
I believe they could. I believe that as American voters take a close look at what's happening, they're going to see that what's happening to Trump is being driven by Democrats, and that would have a backlash on Democrats.
Okay, so you're saying it could actually help Trump in a weird way, yeah?
I do. I do think that it's possible, yes.
All right. All right, Michael, make it a great Thursday. Enjoy some sun. Things are warming up. Michael Dennehy, Dennehy.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jack.
Good morning, New Hampshire, powered by Sig Sauer. Now, back to Jack Heath on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
All right, welcome back. And coming up a little bit later on, we're going to debut and premiere a new segment brought to you by our friends at M&T Bank on CEOs You Should Know. Maureen Beauregard, head of Easter Seals, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. I want to bring in the acting medical center director for Manchester in the region, Julie Vos. And Julie has someone with her. But yesterday, we've done something really, really cool at the VA, and that's opening the women's veterans program, and a groundbreaking. And Julie and I were talking as the acting director. She was explaining to me how more and more women are coming into the system as veterans. Julie Vos, thanks for being with us to talk about this wonderful, actually, I think, a pivotal moment locally. Talk about the facility, the program, and all the above.
Morning, Jack. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a great day yesterday. I really appreciate everyone that came out to support Manchester and New Hampshire veterans. So we have seen the cohort of female veterans grow steadily over the past decade here, and we're excited to share that we serve almost 40% of those veterans that live in New Hampshire already, and the goal to, you know, invite as many more as we can. So we have, over that time frame, grown our staff and grown our space to support women veterans' needs, the unique needs that women veterans have. And in this next project, which is a new build off the front of our building, is just really the next phase in being able to support women veterans and their needs. It will be a new building attached to the front of our current space here at the main campus in Manchester, with their own entrance and 9,000 square feet, plenty of space to allow for multidisciplinary clinical practitioners to all serve and surround the veteran with all of the different types of facets of care that they need as part of their health care. So we're really excited. It's slated to be completed in the fall of 25.
And Julie, speak to the numbers of clients and patients and the changes and more women now coming into the system.
Sure. I have Laura Case here. I think maybe you've met her, Jack. She's our women's health coordinator here in Manchester, and she's been leading the way for many years for us as far as supporting our women veterans. Maybe she can give us some information on that.
Hi,
sure.
Jack. Thanks for having me. So we currently serve a little over 2,800 female veterans at the Manchester VA, and that number has been consistently growing since my role has been here in 2017. And as Julie said, over the last decade, we are seeing a steady incline. Women veterans are the number one fastest growing minority group in the military, and so our projections are showing that we, in the next 5 years, should be seeing around 3,300 to 3,400 female veterans, and we continue our outreach efforts to get the word out to our female veterans that we are here and we are expanding our services and want to meet their needs and continue to grow to do just that.
Now, what are you, Julie and I spoke the other day just about the, you know, the typical age or stage in life of some of the men who have served, and I would tend to think it tends to be slightly older. I know veterans are returning in their 20s and 30s, but you know, when your body, you know, your wear and tear. But with women, they're more in the recent years, more and more women have entered the service. So, are you seeing certain areas, certain ages, certain trends on what they're looking for healthcare support? By the way, they earn this care. It's not about entitlement. Are you seeing certain areas where you're focusing more than not?
Absolutely. So I do think that as some of our older veterans, you know, are, unfortunately, we are losing them, we are seeing an increase in our younger and also middle-aged veterans. And the feedback that we get really is about wanting that specialty care, being able to get the different services that are tailored to them. So whether that's seeing a specialist with endocrinology, seeing our cardiology, seeing our orthopedic pain services. Also, you know, they rave about our pharmacy services and wanting to have gynecology be able to be available to them physically here at the VA. And our biggest thing that we hear from our veterans is that they want services here. They want them at the VA, within the VA, to be able to see their providers in one location. And for us to be able to do that, to me, is a huge win, to be able to give them what they're asking for and to meet their needs without them having to go to multiple different places and travel to multiple different places. And this comprehensive clinic is really going to be able to do that, for us to be able to have them come to one location and to really be able to bring a lot of those services to them in that clinic.
And do you both see rising demand for this center and services as we, say, go 5-7 years out?
Yes, it will continue to grow. We only suspect that it will continue to grow. The 10-year projection as far as demographics go in New Hampshire is about 3,800 that we expect to bring into the system. You know we can't do it all as well, and so we're really lucky in the VA to have community partners. You know, I met a veteran yesterday who just the bond she has with our staff, she brought her two children to our event, her little baby that she's had recently and her older child, and she talked all about how supportive her care manager has been here, you know, having received maternity care, you know, right down the road at another facility, because that's that particular type of care we don't provide on-site here, right? But having the case managers be able to kind of wrap that care and coordinate the care for her has just really been pivotal. And so the areas in which we do not have on-site care, we have strong community partners who just do it best, right? And so we're lucky in the VA to be able to provide the right care to our veterans at the place that is provided. So it was just a great experience yesterday to be able to meet some of these folks.
Awesome. Julie Vos, the acting director. Now, thank you both. And if a female veteran out there wants to learn more, enroll, check it out, or get involved, what's the best way to follow up and get more information?
Absolutely. We would love for them to give us a call. They can call 603-624-4366, extension 6541, and they will get me directly.
All right. Thank you both very much. It's a great update. Great update. Thank you very much. Manchester VA. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Michael Graham, NHJournal.com. I only take a breath because he's at it all the time, 24/7. And he's got an interesting take and piece in NHJournal.com on the governor's race. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for having NHJournal.com on. Yes, we have a video that we have obtained of Joyce Craig, the former mayor of Manchester, who has repeatedly been asked if she supports sanctuary cities here in New Hampshire. As you know, Jack, it's been an issue before the legislature. In fact, just yesterday, the Senate-passed version of the bill came out of a House committee with bipartisan support. Democrat Jonah Wheeler from Peterborough joined the Republicans, and they amended the bill, made some tweaks to it, and he supported it. So it's a real issue. So listen to this audio of Joyce Craig being asked about these attacks suggesting that she supports sanctuary cities. And listen to how she answers the question, do you, yes or no, Joyce Craig, support Sanctuary City?
Yes. So there are some things there.
I have a question from Chuck Finley joining us over Zoom. He says, Kelly Ayotte has been attacking you for supporting Sanctuary Cities. Would you mind clearing up your stance on them?
So the question is, Kelly Ayotte has been attacking me for my stance on Sanctuary Cities, and he's asking me to clarify that. So the thing in New Hampshire is we're not a sanctuary state and there are no sanctuary cities. So they're using Republican talking points to attack. What I can tell you is that as mayor of Manchester, one of the priorities that I had was to make sure Manchester was welcoming for every single person that lived there. And as governor, I will make sure that our state is welcoming for every resident who lives here. When I knocked doors running for mayor, one of the things that I learned over and over again in different neighborhoods is that individuals who were residents in Manchester but were born in another country didn't feel like City Hall was for them, and they just were not engaged. So as soon as I became mayor, I took City Hall into the neighborhoods.
You can roll it off here because it goes on to an anecdote from there. But you saw the answer that was notable is that she didn't answer the question. Do you support sanctuary cities? There's no such thing as sanctuary cities. Which of course, is not true. Lebanon passed a sanctuary city ordinance. Hanover has a sanctuary city ordinance. And Manchester, Hollis, Hudson, and Merrimack have supported so-called sanctuary policies, according to New Hampshire Public Radio. So still no answer to that very basic question. Jack, why do you think it is that Joyce Craig just won't give an answer to the question?
Because New Hampshire is not a sanctuary city state.
I mean, right now there's legislation that if she were governor.
No, I'm just saying that's her answer. No, I mean, by the way, 14 Republicans in the Senate voted to end any sanctuary communities at all in New Hampshire, city policies like Hanover and all that. 14, 10 Democrats voted against it. What you're going to hear in the election, Michael, is the sanctuary city issue in major cities is tearing apart the cities. It's a huge problem, and most people don't like it. But Democrats, you heard her answer, they're going to say these are Republican talking points. They're just getting everyone ginned up on this, and there's no problem here. There's no issue here. There's no problem with undocumented immigrants or migrants committing crimes. There's no problem with homelessness. There's no problem. You know, Michael, yesterday you got me going on this. I looked up in Massachusetts what they're spending of taxpayer dollars a year, housing, supporting, augmenting hotels, shelters for undocumented migrants. You know, it's almost $1 billion a year now in their budget.
They had almost $1 billion for the last budget, and they've got another $900 million for the next fiscal year for the housing for this collection of illegal immigrants and then people who are making unfounded claims of amnesty, which is the overwhelming number. But Jack, you're ignoring my question. We know what the polls are. The polls show this is a 70-30 issue for the voters. Voters overwhelmingly hate sanctuary cities. They hate the idea that one person would get arrested for breaking the rules and another person wouldn't. Why is Joyce Craig not answering the question? And it looks like
because
she supports the 30% and not the 70%. The same with Cindy Warmington. Now, I love that you asked Michael Denny about Cindy Warmington calling on Kelly Ayotte for a debate today on abortion. Couple of things. The filing period hasn't even opened for the two primaries, much less closed, so there's who knows how many candidates we'll have. And why would Kelly Ayotte debate Cindy Warmington as opposed to, you know, her fellow Republican? And then finally, just one last suggestion for the executive counselor. Before you have a debate with someone from another party, you might want to try holding at least one open press event and taking questions from reporters before you jump in the deep end of the pool and start doing a debate, because Cindy Warmington has yet to hold a single open press event and take questions from reporters.
Let me do a hypothetical back to you. Picture hypothetically, you brought up Kelly Ayotte, you brought up Warmington and Joyce Craig. Let's just say hypothetically, since Warmington has challenged Kelly Ayotte, I know Chuck Morris and others, but just say Ayotte's the nominee for Republicans, and let's say hypothetically Joyce Craig's a nominee for Democrats, hypothetically. And they're in an exchange, and Joyce Craig says to Kelly Ayotte on abortion, "You favor a ban on abortion." And Kelly Ayotte says, "No, I don't. I support the New Hampshire law, no ban through 6 months." You, Joyce Craig, will not say that you're opposed to sanctuary cities. Well, how does she answer that? What she just did?
Well, yeah, she'll say there are no sanctuary cities. And she'll just, you know, just like she'll say there are no abortions after the 6 months here in New Hampshire, which, of course, she doesn't know because nobody knows. Because Democrats have been effective in killing legislation repeatedly that does what 46 other states do, which is, you know, for the purposes of health policy, just, you know, it's not a moral issue. It's just, hey, we know how many root canals there are every year. You know, we know how many, you know, ACL surgeries there are every year. We think we should know, because of the public health aspect, how many abortions are every year, and they won't do it.
Let me ask you another hypothetical. Say this was a debate. Again, hypothetically, an Ayotte or Morris and Craig or Warrington. If the Republican or someone were to ask the candidates, in Massachusetts recently, we've seen undocumented migrants accused of raping two young women, most recently in Rockland, Mass. If in New Hampshire, if an undocumented migrant gets arrested for a violent crime, should they be detained and turned over to ICE federal officials for deportation? Should they be detained, yes or no? How do the candidates answer that?
There are no sanctuary cities. It doesn't happen. Of course, we support the law, blah, 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 why.
But the Republicans would probably say, yes, detain them and get them out. What would the Democrats say?
They'll say, it's not an issue. We already cooperate. This is all a Republican talking point, even though, as you noted, Jack, there was a illegal immigrant who's literally charged with raping a handicapped teenager who was released by a judge because of Massachusetts sanctuary city policy. Now, let me ask you one more hot topic. The protests on campus. We've been covering them at NHJournal.com. Governor Sununu, who's a graduate of MIT, very angry about what's happening in the Ivies and at MIT, where they have the anti-Israel, pro-Hamas chants. We have some of the signs that are being posted by progressives in New Hampshire celebrating Hamas and celebrating October 7th.
Where do you have that?
Excuse me?
Where do you have the ladder? Where's that?
NHJournal.com. There's a story that says one of the Merrimack protesters posted signs calling Jews pigs and celebrating October 7th. Yeah, and by the way, she's a progressive Elizabeth Warren supporter, and they're in her Twitter feed, and we have the screen captures. That's one thing I will say to the
Did she go so far as to actually cheer October 7th?
So she posted a statement from the spokesperson for Hamas, Abu Ubaid, that says whatever. We did more on October 7th than Israel's been able to do in 200 days or something. I don't have the quote in front of me. So she posted that on her Twitter feed, along with
She's cool with beheading infants as they slept in the kibbutz and raping young girls.
Revolution, you got to break a few eggs to make a revolutionary omelet. But this is my point.
And you're driving around in a vehicle of a young girl naked after being raped and murdered. You're cool with that.
This is what I want to ask you. So we asked everybody in the two congressional races, do you support a proposal from Senator Tom Cotton that says if you can't keep your campuses safe for Jewish students, if you can't stop this chaos, we will withhold some of your federal funding? Because every college, as you know, Jack, gets some federal funding, even if it's private. Even Harvard, as rich as it is. And all of the Republicans, Lily Tang Williams, Vikram Manchurmani, Holly Novoletsky, I can do this from memory, Russell Prescott and Chris Bright, all said, absolutely, I would consider it. I'm interested. That's a way to go forward. All of the Democrats, including incumbent Chris Pappas, Becky Whitley, Colin Van Osten, would not answer the question. No answer. And once again, is it because they really think that killing Jews is great? Is it really because they think these protests are good? Or is it like Joyce Craig? They know that if you want to get out of a primary, this is part of your party's base, and you don't want to be seen as the pro-Israel, pro-immigrant law enforcement person in a Democratic primary, not even in New Hampshire.
This is going to spill into the general. And the second part of your question is the answer. They want to win the primary, and they know their base, part of their base, is nuts. And you know, the other thing is, another question asked these candidates, in your own words, how do you define the organization known as Hamas? Tell me what it is. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear the answers to that.
Well, what's fascinating is
they would stumble and bumble. Oh my God, can you imagine the answers? You never hear the term their terrorist organization, right?
So, and I just want to add one more thing. I absolutely think it's completely reasonable when people laugh when a Republican gets asked who really won the 2020 election. Mm-hmm. Because they have the same problem. There's a part of the Republican base that is insane. They think the election was stolen.
Right.
Anyone who thinks that is an idiot. But idiots vote too. This is no different. We should be looking at Joyce Craig and Becky Whitley and Colin Van Osten, who will not answer questions about these hideous protests or about immigration enforcement, the same way we look at Republicans when they get asked, who won the 2020 election? They go, the problems are... No. Both of these are people pandering to their extremes, and the voters should note as they move forward.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael Granville, out there, NHJournal.com. Erin Rial, NBC News Radio national correspondent. She's all over everything when it comes to this. Erin, good morning.
Good morning. Yes. So this is pretty incredible. The Biden administration, they announced two new rules for the airlines. One is going to require the airlines to be more transparent about their extra fees, and the second is it's going to make the airlines issue you cash refunds automatically in a couple cases. One is when your flight is canceled or significantly changed. The second is when your bag is super delayed getting back to you. That's another significantly one. And then when customers don't receive in-flight amenities that they paid for, that's something like Wi-Fi. I don't know about you, Jack, but I have been subjected to all of these things. And knowing that I'm getting my cash back for the cost of the flight definitely, definitely softens the blow.
Yeah, you know, and then you always find yourself about you when you travel is you don't want to check a bag because of just the check-in issue. If you go, that's where everyone's waiting, and then you're waiting there. Oh, where's my bag? Well, we'll see where it goes. All right, Erin Rial, NBC Radio national correspondent. Thank you, Erin.
Thanks.
Lucas Meyer, one of our political analysts and all-stars, regular Democrat analyst and strategist. Good Thursday morning, Lucas.
Good morning, Jack. Good to be here.
All right. Hey, was it your family that named Lucas Oil in Indianapolis home of the Colts? No.
I think I'd be in, like, Barbados hanging out right now if that was the case, Jack.
Hey, listen, it's interesting. Some stuff happening. It's interesting. So, Cindy Warmington, let's start local in the governor's race, Lucas. Democrat Executive Counsel Cindy Warmington. And we had Mike Dennehy, a Republican strategist like yourself, only Democrat. You know Michael. He actually praised Cindy Warmington for putting out a tweet, what do you call it now, an X versus tweet, challenging Kelly Ayotte, one of the Republicans running for governor, for a debate with Warmington, challenging Kelly Ayotte for a debate on abortion rights. Denny thought it was a smart move. And then, of course, we had someone else on talking about Joyce Craig, was asked on one of these, like, you know, talk with listener voters about, you know, Kelly Ayotte criticizing Craig for sanctuary city support. And Craig basically saying, you know, New Hampshire is not a sanctuary city state. We don't have any sanctuary communities or cities. And then going on talking about that. Interesting stuff happening already back and forth in the gubernatorial stuff.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, continues to heat up. And I think, you know, Councillor Warmington's, you know, challenge or invitation for a debate is, you know, definitely reflects that the politics are happening, your campaigns are firing. I think it is a good tactic for the Warmington campaign. Anytime they're talking about reproductive freedoms is a good thing strategically in the state. It's also where most Granite Staters are. So not only is it good policy, it's popular policy. So I think you will continue to see that be a focal point. I think you'll see, you know, there was a lot of news this week around NHPR put out a report about how school administrators and educators across the state are worried about the extent of Governor Sununu's Education Commissioner Frank Edelblue's interference with local concern, where you have these very nonpartisan school administrators and educators who are worried about Frank Edelblue lurking in the corner of their classrooms, figuratively, you know, nitpicking how they teach, specifically on issues of racial diversity or, you know, LGBTQ rights. And I think you will continue. Then you saw the commissioner, you know, rebuttal that report with an 800-word op-ed on the state of New Hampshire Department of Education website, you know, making allegations against teachers that they cannot defend. I think this sort of government intrusion into the classroom will continue to be unpopular. And I think you'll continue to see what maybe have been controversial but quieter topics really start to reach the top as these gubernatorial campaigns continue to increase their communications and people slowly start to plug in, although it is, you know, we're still talking about April 25th.
Yeah.
So most voters in the world totally unaware of what's happening and will continue to be unaware until the last 2 weeks of September, or the first 2 weeks of September.
Yeah.
But that's why you do those, you know, challenger to a debate, because then maybe you get a clip out of it.
Or what we're seeing is an ongoing trend. These national issues are coming home locally as defining issues. You know, that sanctuary city question of Joyce Craig, you know the Senate, state Senate, along total party lines, 14 Republicans, 10 Democrats. 14 Republicans said yes to end sanctuary city policies anywhere in New Hampshire. 10 Democrats, no. So do you think that, one of the answers Craig gave, and I think you'll hear more of this in the future, and I'm sure you can predict what the Republican candidates are going to say when the Democrats say, oh, my Republican opponent wants to ban abortion and ban all abortion rights. The Democrats, Joyce Craig, saying that all the sanctuary city stuff and worrying about undocumented migrants committing crime and all that, that's just a Republican talking point. Is that going to be kind of what we're going to hear more of this summer and fall?
Yeah, I certainly expect that the Republican campaigns will continue to beat the drum on the immigration issue. I think it'll be interesting political science to see.
Where are voters on this, on the immigration issue? Is it a big issue here? Because we're not Texas. We're not Texas, obviously. We're not Texas.
Right. I think that's what's an interesting dynamic is can Republicans in state level races parlay that message into some effect down ballot? And are voters going to connect the state house to immigration policy? I think that's a reach, in my opinion. I think voters are intuitively smarter than that to know that, like, when they think about immigration policy, they don't look to the state house for answers. And I also think at the national level, I mean, Trump's rhetoric on the immigration debate, saying things like, quote, poisoning the blood of America. I mean, this is the kind of dangerous rhetoric that makes people very uneasy. So I think Republicans should also be careful, because I also think in a state level race, nationalizing too much can also sort of disconnect you from what's happening in the communities in the state. And I don't think if you asked people coming out of Market Basket, hey, what's top of your brain? I still don't think it's immigration. And so I think the Democratic candidates will have to have good answers on this. Mm-hmm. We'll have to have thorough answers, but then also make sure they're pivoting back to the everyday costs. You know, I mean, the report came out last week. You know, the average home cost in New Hampshire now, $500,000. So,
oh, and that's a bargain. That's like, you're lucky if you can get one for that.
Right.
Hey, Lucas, so, go ahead. No, I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you a question because I've been noticing this. I don't think as a Democrat you're a big fan of independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
We've talked about it.
It's a hard no. Okay, but I guess he's on the ballot in Michigan. He's on the ballot here in New Hampshire. I've been saying if he gets, we had an analyst the other day who's pretty sharp saying she thinks he might get upwards of 20% of the general vote in this presidential election. But I'm hearing from analysts even if he gets 10%. He tilts the scales one way or the other in states like New Hampshire between Biden and Trump. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Robert F. Kennedy campaign is a very serious threat, which is why Donald Trump asked him to be his vice president, which is why Trump donors are funding Robert F. Kennedy's campaign. It is a real threat. You've seen the Democratic National Committee recognize this, and you know, a different tactic the National Party is using this cycle is in 2016. They didn't take Jill Stein seriously. They didn't take the third parties seriously. And if Jill Stein is arguably, in my opinion, a big reason why Donald Trump was elected. So you are seeing the Democratic National Committee zeroing in on Robert F. Kennedy in the form of making sure wherever he's being put on the ballot that there's political pushback happening there. And make sure we're educating folks about what his positions are, because his name is Kennedy, and that is a very well-known name among Democratic voters. But there's also some pretty solid political science out there that even when you are polling a third-party candidate in the lead-up to an election, a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for him. But when they get to the ballot box and they look at their options, they much less frequently than you might imagine actually end up voting for that third-party candidate. That being said, when you look at what could decide the results of the presidential election, it could be 60,000 votes across four states, and that's where this becomes very problematic.
Yeah,
so I think it is a very real threat.
And just ask Bill Clinton about Rossboro. Before we let you go, in the Democrats' second congressional district, more names to get in beyond Colin Van Ostern and Senator Whitley or not?
I think former U.S. attorney, daughter of Betty Tamposi, who ran for Congress in the 80s out of Nashua, Maggie Goodlander, I have heard is continuing to make steps forward. So I would still expect some more entries into this race.
All right, great stuff. Lucas Meyer, straight to the dome. If people want to contact you, get a hold of you, best way?
Lucas S. Meyer on Twitter or catalystadvocacy.com. Appreciate it, Jack.
Rory O'Neill, the pulse of America. I can't wait to hear this poll on things like the presidential election, Biden and Trump, the economy, immigration. Take it away, Rory.
Yeah, Quinnipiac University out with its monthly poll. Again, don't focus on today's numbers. Look at trends, because that's the benefit. That's the good part of this poll that's done on such a regular basis. On the presidential race, they say it's a tie, 46-46. We've been seeing that those numbers get closer and closer. Oddly enough, while 46% support President Biden, his job approval number is 35%, 61% underwater in that one. And that trend is going in the wrong direction for President Biden. When it comes to the ongoing trial of former President Trump, 7 in 10 say they're following it closely. 6 in 10 say these charges are serious, but only a few, 21%, would say they'd actually change their vote or consider changing their vote if the former president is found guilty. By the way, 15% said they'd be more likely to vote for Donald Trump if he is convicted at this trial. And abortion was another standout number. 66% in the Quinnipiac poll now say that abortion should be legal, either in all cases or in most cases. That's a record high in more than 20 years of polling on this question.
Any polling question on RFK Jr.?
When they did the presidential mix-up, so it was 46-46, then they say, all right, let's add in RFK Jr. and the Green Party candidate Jill Stein and Cornel West. 46-46 comes down to 37-37. But RFK Jr. gets 16%, a pretty solid number.
And keep an eye on that. Rory O'Neill, NBC Radio National Correspondent, Quinnipiac Poll. Thank you, Rory.
Thanks, Jack.
Good Morning, New Hampshire with Jack Heath. Voted best radio talk show, thanks to you, in New Hampshire Magazine's 2024 Readers Poll. Good Morning, New Hampshire, powered by Sig Sauer. Now, back to Jack Heath on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
As they say in Kansas City, it's been a while. It's been a while. Rob Carson of the Rob Carson Show, heard right after this show on our network of news talk stations on the Pulse of NH. Mr. Rob, it's been a while. How are you, sir?
I am good, and I am glad to be on the most popular radio personality in New Hampshire. Pause. Jack Heath's show.
How you been?
Brother, I am great. And despite all of this nonsense in the country going on right now, I'm optimistic, man. I'm optimistic. Every day I wake up, I try to make sense of this madness, and I am optimistic because there's a great awakening happening. Homeboys, Hebrews, hillbillies, all coming together to save our country. I believe it, man. I believe it.
Well, elaborate, because, the stage, I don't have to tell you, you do this every day. I mean, 1960s type stuff, but outright anti-Jewish, anti-Israel behavior, tear down the U.S., pro-Hamas on a lot of these campuses, police, riot gear. Trump in court, hush money, CNN, every 2 minutes, Trump in court, Joe Biden out there, whatever he's doing, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. quietly getting on ballots and no one's talking about it. Other than that, and a couple wars in the world, Rob, inflation and a broken border, what else is there to talk about?
You're paying too much attention to these idiots on the letter networks. It's not working. None of it's working. None of it's resonating. Donald Trump is leading in battleground states, opening up leads as much as 9%. Donald Trump, when he goes out and shows his face in public in Manhattan, gets hundreds of people to come out and cheer him. The American people are awake and alert. And what happens on MSNBC and CNN and ABC and CBS and NBC and NPR and PBS and PBR doesn't matter, because they're just trying to save their own butts.
Rob, can I be spontaneous with you only because you're Rob Carson nationally and we got this going here? Can I bring in a national newsmaker who's, I thought it was a few minutes from now? You remember Governor, you remember the governor of North Dakota, Doug Burgum, running for president. Now he's not, he's here. He's coming to New Hampshire today. Governor, thanks for being back on the show.
Hey, Jack, great to be with you. Great to be back in New Hampshire.
How are you, sir? How you been?
I'm fantastic, and a beautiful spring day, and got so many great memories of our time in New Hampshire, and it's great to be back here.
Now, Rob's on with us. Rob, you're coming here to give a talk today, Governor?
Yeah, I've got multiple stops. I'm going to be in Keene and Manchester and Dublin, but I'm speaking tonight at Keene at a Republican a GOP Eisenhower dinner. Looking forward to that.
And, Governor, you know, I think your story out of your home state, plus your business, entrepreneurial, hardworking story. I mean, Rob, how many ranchers have we really had? I mean, Kevin Costner's not running for president, but we were talking about how Donald Trump might be quite a story happening here. And I had read that Donald Trump, there's a possibility if he were to be elected again, would you serve in his administration in the cabinet, maybe a Secretary of Energy, or is that just something that seems a little bit premature?
Well, he's got so many great people that want to serve with him this time around. Exciting to see all the talented people that want to jump in and help get this country turned around and pointed in the right direction. So it's flattered to be part of all these discussions, but that's not why I'm doing this. I mean, I think North Dakota we're a natural resource state, energy, agriculture, two big air bases, national security. These are all things where Joe Biden's taken us the wrong direction, and I decided not to run again for governor. I could have run for another term, but the most important thing I can do right now is make sure we get a Republican in the White House. And Donald Trump is someone that is strong on the things that Joe Biden's weak on. So whether it's inflation, the border, national security, world peace, you name it. So I got a lot of reasons to be in New Hampshire and a lot of reasons to be around the rest of the country right now trying to help get Donald Trump back in the White House.
Rob Carson.
Yes, sir. First of all, Governor, very honored to be on the same phone call with you. I have deep roots in the upper Midwest. I've got several friends who are beet farmers in North Dakota, and my mom lived in South Dakota. My sister still lives there, so I have a great deal of respect. I'm just trying to figure out why you don't have that accent. I don't hear that accent so much with you, you know.
Well, yeah, sure, you betcha. We could go have a Coke on a boat this afternoon. We could do that. But speaking of South Dakota, I hope you'll tell your family, you know, North Dakota's been protecting South Dakota from Manitoba for 135 years. We've never got that.
Well, I love me some North Dakota, but the only thing I don't like is your winters. I think they should make you Secretary of Frostbite.
Well, you know, we're trying to change that. We're working on, for all my whole life, even before I was governor, I thought we should just drop the North from North Dakota. We could be like Virginia, West Virginia, Dakota,
yeah.
South Dakota.
Yeah, kind of like Iceland, Greenland kind of thing there.
Yeah, because that alone would warm it up. I mean, there was a farmer rancher on the right on the border of North and South Dakota, and then when they were resurveying, they found out that his headquarters, his house, was actually in South Dakota versus North Dakota. And they went to him and said, "What do you think?" And he said, "Well, thank God, because I couldn't have taken one more of those North Dakota winters."
You think about this. People living in North Dakota, and maybe they go down to Florida for the winter. It's kind of like what people are doing now. You go into the hot tub and you get that cold bath. And it's very good for your health. So maybe that's kind of approach it that way. It's like North Dakota, America's cold bath. I don't know.
We won't even talk about Fargo, the movie. Hey, real quickly, Governor, what's your take on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? Rob and I talked about this. National media totally ignoring him. He's running as an independent. I don't think he has a shot at being president, but I think he has a shot of impacting this if he gets on enough ballots in states like New Hampshire, Michigan, and you name it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think that if he starts getting traction, then you're going to happen what happens in any race is people are going to start educating him about his real record. And I guess when that happens, people are going to realize that if it's Trump, Kennedy, and Biden, people are going to figure out there's two Democrats on the ballot and one Republican. And I think in the end of the day, that would help President Trump. But I'm not a pundit. I understand there's people that are looking for alternatives. But, you know, when I look at his record, what he said, I mean, he's a high tax, high regulation guy, and that to me sounds like a Democrat. I think people will figure that out, and I know that everybody I talk to in New Hampshire inflation is, I think in this state it's about $1,000 a month for most families. I mean, that's like a tax on everybody that lives here. And he's certainly not talking about that issue.
Governor, let you go to your luncheon. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it, Governor. Get you back again soon right here on the Pulse of an Age. Thank you, Governor.
Great. Thank you, Jack.
Nice to talk to you.
What's coming up, Rob Carson?
Well, I want to mention real quick, nobody's going to leave Donald Trump for Robert Kennedy Jr. The reason why Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to take a lot of votes from Joe Biden is, A, he doesn't have dementia, and B, his running mate isn't an idiot. So he's got that advantage, all right?
Rob, you just need to come out and learn how to express yourself.
I know. I'm trying to do it. I want to come out and just say, I want to be able to be honest. Finally. Anyway, no, on the show today, dude, we're covering this anti-Israel nonsense with this campus crackdown that's coming. I think it's wonderful that the left has revealed, I like to say, they've revealed their faces so we can kick their asses. The Democrat Party is down with all of this anti-Semitism, anti-America. Hey,
can I ask you a weird question? You hear about these Google workers that were fired. You see the group picture of them protesting at Google.
Yes.
Why are these?
Yes.
Why do some of these allegedly pro-Palestinian protesters, anti-Israel, blatant? Why do they wear COVID masks in all the pictures? I'm serious. I don't understand that.
Well, first of all, they're Gen Zers who were convinced that the world is ending not only about climate change, and then they put the pedal to the metal on fear with the idiotic COVID protocols, and also they're trying to cover up their identity.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. You still, how's the food line going? Cooking?
Oh, dude, I am cooking. I got my kitchen. My house is in shambles. I'm broadcasting from Bot Radio Networks. It's a Christian broadcast company. They've been nice enough to set me with a beautiful studio. But I'm building a new kitchen. Finally, I've had a terrible kitchen for a long time. And then we're going to dive headfirst into the cooking. And we're really going to expand the Carson lifestyle brand. Let me just put it that way.
Don't kid yourself. If you did an Amazon store for some of the stuff you're making, you'd do well.
Oh, well, my line of pickled peppers, which are called Carson's Hotties, are the best you've ever had. And trust me, they're coming soon.
All right, thanks, Rob. Have a great show. Right, we'll catch you soon. The great one, Tom Raffio, president, CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, host of Delta Dental Radio, author of more than a few books on leadership and business, but also stories from the starting line with some good news a day early. Tom?
Thank you, Jack, for accommodating me. And this is important because tomorrow I have my Delta Dental Plan of New Hampshire annual meeting and board meeting. So you want me to continue to be able to give it back to veterans, right? So I've got to do my real job tomorrow. So thank you for accommodating me.
Hey, before we get into good news, we have plenty of time. I want to know with J-Dog on the Tom Raffio thoughts on the draft, NFL draft kicking off tonight in Detroit. Patriots going number 3 in the draft. Do they hold that position, trade down? What about J.J. McCarthy? What are the Tom Raffio thoughts?
I think they'll go with if Drake May is available, that's where they'll go. And if Jaden is available, they'll take him. I don't think they'll go the McCarthy route. Myself personally, I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. Deal a year with the quarterback that they got in the trade, and then next year get the quarterback. But in any event, they don't pay me for that, but I think they're going to go for one of the top 3 quarterbacks, and not McCarthy.
J-Dog?
I think they trade the pick. So.
You do?
I'm not, because I just don't think, again, and Tom has just said that he's not a draft guru. I'm not a draft guru. I'm just sensing that Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the Patriots, I think maybe he thinks they can get someone in the late first round, if not second round, or maybe even third round. So I don't know. So we'll see what happens tonight, though.
All right.
We will. And I was kind of bummed out last night with flipping back and forth. The Celtics just didn't play well, but meanwhile the Bruins won, so I feel good about that.
But Tom, the Bruins played real well in the third period.
Well, that was, I think, the only time they played well. But yeah, they did win. Which was good.
You know what I was thinking real quick, and then I want to hear some good news. But J-Dog and I were talking about this. The crowd outside the Toronto Arena in Toronto is probably big as inside. Can you imagine going in there as a Bruin, beating them at home like that, solidly, with not just the people inside the building, but a bigger crowd outside? How does that feel?
Yeah, amazing. Well, they're longing for a Stanley Cup. Even though, I think, and Jay can check this, but after the Canadians, they've won the most Stanley Cups, something like 13, but they haven't won like since 1967 or something like that. So, in any event, so on the good news front, so, you know, one of the things that we have sponsored Delta Dental for many, many, many years is the Miss New Hampshire Scholarship presentation and contest. And people think, oh, my God, you know, beauty contest. No, it's actually how these young women get scholarships and go to school. And we present on Thursday nights. I'll be at the Stockbridge Theater tonight, the Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math Awards to 3 of the women in the competition that filled out an application and are going to school for STEM-related activities. So I just wanted to convey to the listening audience that we're lucky in New Hampshire. We have a very vibrant, Miss New Hampshire program, and many of these women, you've worked with one. They stay in the New Hampshire community. And these are the type of people you want to hire as an employer, because they're obviously confident enough to go on stage, and so that's the type of person, you know, that you'd want working for you. So I get to be there tonight to give out those awards, and then over the next several days through Sunday, the new Miss New Hampshire will be crowned, so to speak. And then I always see them at road races. Claudette, who kind of is the handler for all the Miss New Hampshire's, does a great job getting the young women out to road races and other activities. And then Saturday, I'll be in Franklin for V&A Hospice 5K, a fundraiser for hospice, and we are the sponsor. And I'm going to be bringing, since I'm in Franklin, I thought I'd stop at Brothers Donuts and buy some donuts and bring them to the race so runners can eat them afterwards. And then Sunday, I have your favorite location. I'll be in Newcastle, the true start of the Revolutionary War. Is that what you said the other day?
The first overt military action of the Revolutionary War happened there December 14th and 15th, 1774.
Exactly. So I knew that because I listened to you. And anyway, we have a 10K, not 5K, 10K race that starts in the park there. And you go around for 10K, which is 6.2 miles, and you come back, and that'll be that. And then for my veterans friend, Jack, and I say this with real authenticity, I'm so probably the best thing that happened in our lives was when you connected with me 7 or 8 years ago explaining how veterans in general can't get served at the VA for dental because, you know, they're not fully disabled. And because of that, we've invested $1 million. And every week I'm talking to about five veterans. And if they don't qualify for the VA or Medicaid, which we just celebrated the one-year anniversary of putting in the Medicaid program, which is another huge good news because that was people didn't think we could get it done. But veterans, call me at 223-1300. We have a small network of dentists who we pay, but on a discounted basis so we can conserve the funds led by Dr. Mitch Corray. And so, Jack, thank you for that because it, every day, you know, I hear from veterans that I know how important they know how important now oral health is. So thank you, Jack. And that's why I love the radio because it gives us an opportunity, you know, to share. And then this weekend on Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and you know, Jack, I'm the longest running host with curly hair at the Pulse. And I have Joe Casper who will be talking about the Capital Area race series, and you mentioned the stories from the starting line. That book sales are going great. We added a chapter, so there's now 90 runners, most of them New Hampshire legends, you know, that are in the book. So people are buying the book, and then that money goes to the Veterans Oral Health. So that's kind of my story there, Jack. What do you think?
It sounds all good. I love it. I love it. Enjoy Newcastle. I love it, and that's great.
All right. Take care. Have a great weekend.